Of course, we're doing Torah and Tea for the portion of Pinchas. And as usual, we're going to try to give over a little bit from the two talks of the Rebbe in volume 28 in Pinchas 1 and 2. In any event,
Am I frozen?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, in any event, in this week's portion,
Hello.
We talk about, in this week's portion, about the inheritance of the land. And we'll just talk a little bit about how the Jews inherit the land. We're talking about, of course, the land of Israel. We're talking about after the Jewish people journeyed for 40 years in the desert, and finally they came to the land, and before they came in there, in this week's portion you read how the land was supposed to be divided amongst all the tribes. So that's the discussion. Now, there are three things that they did in dividing the land. There were three processes, as you can say, in dividing the land. First, they threw a lottery. Then, I'm not going to go into all the details how each one complemented each other. That's complicated, but there was a lottery so that you had all the pieces of the land on one piece of paper, and you had the name of the tribe on another piece of paper, and then you picked out the tribe with that piece of paper that had that piece of land that went to that tribe. That means that it was divided by lottery. Then it also was divided, it was apportioned according to how many people each tribe had. So if there was a tribe that had more people, then they got a bigger portion. A tribe that had less people got a smaller portion. So what's the difference between a lottery and apportioning according to how many people there are? Well, a lottery doesn't really work by logic. When you throw a lottery, it's sort of arbitrary. You know, who's going to get what? There's no rationale. There's no reason. There's no explanation. The lottery, you know, we throw in a lottery, one person gets one part, the other one gets the other part. In other words, it's a distribution that is made beyond the reason. But when you give people a portion according to the number of people, that's a logical distribution, because you say that the more people, they get a bigger piece of land. The lesser people get less. That makes sense. That's a logical approach. And then we have, so you have the lottery, and you have the apportioned piece, and then you also have what we call the inheritance. We'll get back to it. Let me just say, you know, in the davening, in the prayers, in the morning, there's actually a song to these words. You say, Ashreinu, how fortunate we are. You say, Ashreinu, how fortunate we are. So in the morning, when we get up and before the morning services, we say to Hashem, we're thankful. We feel privileged. We say, Ashreinu, how lucky we are. When you think about it, of all the nations of the world, of all the billions of people in the world, just a very small, almost insignificant number are the chosen people to be the servants of God. Hashem, the creator of everything and of all people, so out of everything he chose just a fraction of all of the world to be his children, to be his servants, and gave them the Torah and gave them the mitzvahs. That's unique. Hashem chose us from all the nations of the world, from all the languages, and he gave us the Torah, he gave us the mitzvah. He brought us close to him. He took us out of Egypt. He gave us the Holy Land. It is the Jewish people that have that special relationship with Hashem, with God. So when we get up in the morning, what do we say? We say, Ashereinu. How fortunate we are. There is a anecdote told about one of the great rabbis that whenever he would get up in the morning and he would say his morning blessings, and then he would say, one of them is Baruch Atah Hashem, Shelo Asani Goy, that he did not create me a Gentile, meaning he made me a Jew so that he brought me in, became his servant. He would dance and jump and clap and sing with such excitement that he was chosen to be a servant of God. That's an unbelievable privilege. That's an only unbelievable good fortune. I mean, what else could you ask for but to be chosen by Hashem, the infinite, and everything we know about Hashem, that Hashem chose you, you little person, and he wants you to be his servant, and you become his people. So, what we say in the morning before the davening, we say, Ashreinu. Ashreinu, how fortunate we are. Ashreinu, how fortunate we are. No, like you say, Ashrei Yoshvei Veisechov. Fortunate are those who sit in your home, which means those who study Torah. Here we're saying, Ashreinu, how fortunate we are. We say three things. We're saying, Ashreinu, why are we lucky? So we're saying, Matoiv Chalkeinu, how good is our portion? Chalik means a portion. Our allotment, a chalik. Matoiv Chalkeinu, how good. We're so happy, it's so good, the portion that we got. We're happy with our portion. A Jew is excited and proclaims to Hashem, I'm so fortunate for my portion. But then there's two more languages that the person uses. The person also says, in the prayer we say, Umanoyim goyrolenu, how sweet is our lot, our goro, lottery. So we have a portion, how good it is, and how sweet, manoim, how sweet, how pleasant is our lot. A lot here in the sense that we got through a lottery. The lottery gave us a part. So we're so lucky to get a portion, and we're so lucky to, it's pleasant to us to win the lottery. We feel like we won the lottery. We struck gold. And then finally, the third thing we say, how beautiful. Uma yofa. Yofa means how pretty, how beautiful is Yerushaseinu, is our inheritance. Again, we have three things over here. We have a portion, and we have a lottery, a lot, and we have an inheritance. And we're so excited that we say, that we are so fortunate to have all these three things. But what do these three things mean? How are they different from one another? What is the excitement with our portion? What is our portion? Matov chalkeinu. What is so pleasant about Goyroleinu, our Barulat we won? U'mayofer is Shaseinu, how beautiful is our inheritance. So, on a certain level, explain it, the Rebbe explains it two ways, but let's use the first, the easier explanation. A portion, we have, Hashem provided three means of His connection with us. One of them is called a portion. And one can understand the difference between a portion and a lot by also understanding the difference between a sale and a gift. Basically, Hashem sells us and Hashem gifts us. What does it mean Hashem sells us? What's the difference between a person buys something or when a person gets something as a gift? When you buy something, you pay for it. You give money, and in return for the money that you give, the owner gives you the item that you want. But a gift, you don't pay for it. A gift comes because of the goodwill of the owner. He chooses to give you a gift. It's not your payment. It's not your investment. It's their choice. So basically, these two levels, and then we'll talk about our inheritance. On one level, we're connected to Hashem like we get a part, a chelik, because we pay for it. What does it mean? How do we pay God? God needs money. God needs our money. What is it? How could we pay God to get something? So God should sell us something, should give us something. What does God give us? He gives us health. He gives us our sustenance. He gives us everything that we need. Now, how does He give us? And why do we have to earn it? We have to pay for it. We pay and then God gives. How do we pay for it? Can't give God any money. God doesn't need our money. God says, if you do mitzvahs, if you follow my statutes, you keep my mitzvahs, then I will reward you. You'll have a good life. You'll have all the physically, the rain will be in time. All your physicalities, everything you need will be given to you. You'll be blessed. But how are you getting it? You got to invest. You got to work for it. You got to pay for it. You got to do something to earn it. That's a connection that we say, Ma tov chelkeinu. Yes, you know, to be able to buy God's love, to be able to buy God's care, to be able to buy God's blessings, to be able to get all that Hashem has to offer, that's a real good part. It's a good portion. Matoiv chalkeinu, that's a very good portion. But it's still something that we have to work at. And we have to earn it in order for us to be able to get Hashem's blessings. We have to invest. We have to put in the effort from us. And then Hashem responds to us. That's the Chalkeinu, that's a portion.
Is that the lottery?
No, that's Chalkeinu. That's a part that we have to work. But then comes the lottery. The lottery, as I explained before, is not something that is logical. That is like a gift. Why somebody who wins the lottery, right? Just like you win a lottery. Okay, you put in $1, you put in $2, but it's a very, very small investment relative to the return you get. Lottery, the Noam Gadolenu is, there's a certain level which God gifts things to us. They don't come only because we paid for it, that God gives us. At a certain level, God chooses us. You know, there are some people that maybe don't invest. Maybe somebody can think they don't deserve even God's love or God's connection. Maybe they don't deserve Hashem should be their God because they're not behaving according to the instructions, the directions that Hashem wants. Are they then not part of Hashem? No. We're saying all of Yidden, Manoyim Goyralenu, we are, our lottery is, Hashem chose us not because we are doing or not doing, which means at a certain level, God loves us regardless. Let's say, for example, a child or a student. Some children bring their parents lots of joy. And they earn the parents' love and the parents' recognition, and the parents give them stuff because they earned it. How did they earn it? They go to school, they do well in school, they behave, they don't do silly stuff, and the parents get nachas, and in return, the parents love them. But what happens with a child that is not behaving and he brings lots of aggravation to the parents and but there is still an inherent love? Is your child? That's sort of almost a lottery. You don't pick, you know, you can't pick your family. And you can choose your friends, but you can't pick your family. If God put him, by God's choice, is born to your family, so that's it. There is a blood relationship there. So they were chosen. They're your children. You got to take care of them regardless. If you're happy with what they're doing or you're not happy with what they're doing, they're still your flesh and blood. They're still part of you. They're one with you. So we are been God's lottery. God has chosen us. We're His children. So we're connected with Hashem because we do good things. That's at the level Matov Chalkeinu. That's our portion because we worked and we have a connection. But we also have another connection. We have a connection because God chose the Jewish people as his people. Whether they do mitzvahs or not mitzvahs, and even the person that does mitzvahs, and God loves us because we have a portion, because we do good things, but that doesn't negate also the other aspect, that how pleasant is our lottery that God has chosen us and made us His children. So regardless, so we get up in the morning, we say, we're fortunate to be able to do mitzvahs and earn God's love and God's blessings. And we're also fortunate that we're also chosen by God as God's lottery, that no matter what, we're still His children and we're still one with Him. And therefore, that makes us very, very happy. That makes us very fortunate. And yet there is even a higher level than that. And then we say, how beautiful is our inheritance? What is an inheritance? An inheritance is almost, or it is, the child sort of takes the place of the parents. So after the parents, like we say, just for the sake of an example, even a child who's just one day old, let's say the parents gave birth, the child was one day old, and then they died, both of them, God forbid, right? So all that you have is a one-day-old child. He gets to inherit everything that his parents owned. Just being one day old gives him everything. Why? Because a child takes the place of the parents, just because it's not like it's transferred from the parents to the child, but the child takes the place because of his level of connection with the parent. He is the parents in a sense. Once he takes the place, he becomes one. In our metaphor, what it means is, it's not that Hashem chose us something separate outside of Him, but we are sort of one thing with Hashem. There's no two things. We are Hashem's inheritance, which means we with Hashem at a certain level are really one and the same. Our neshama, our soul that's within us, is really a part of Hashem. And we proclaim that not only do we have a part that we need to work on, not only were we chosen by Hashem, but we're actually one with Hashem. We're not separate. We're not something else. That means Yerush Hashenu, that's our inheritance. And that's the special privilege and the special good fortune that we say, Ashreinu matov chalkeinu manoim goraleinu, how beautiful, how good, how sweet and how beautiful is our portion, is our lot, and inheritance. And that is also the three levels. So just like our relationship with God, in a sense, that's also the way the relationship of the land of Israel is with God. Because it says that when God chose the Jewish people, God chose them to give them the land that He chose. Basically, God chose two things. He chose a land. That's my land, which is Eretz Yisrael. Then God chose an addition. He chose His people, the Jewish people. And then God says, my land that I chose for myself is going to go for my people that I chose. And that's why God gave the land of Israel to the Jewish people. That's His land. And just like the Jewish people have this connection to Hashem through these three ways, there's also a connection to Israel, to Hashem, in all of these three ways. Israel is, first of all, a portion of Hashem. That's a connection of Hashem on a lower level. It's also connected to Hashem in a way of choice. And it's also a connection to Hashem of inheritance. And that's why God wanted the land to encompass all the three aspects of it, of going by the number or logical, going by the lottery, and also being an inheritance. That's a point of what the Rebbe, of course, elaborates and talks a lot about this idea. But I wanted for a minute to also discuss the second sicha, which the Rebbe discusses over here. Just a short note. So that's the first sicha. You can see how many pages this is. I'm not going to review all these pages. And the Rebbe talks about the two different sacrifices we find in the Torah. You know, in the time of the temple, there were special sacrifices. You know, we do Musaf prayer. When do we do the Musaf prayer? We do it on Rosh Chodesh. Janice, you going to help us out?
Yeah. We do it every Shabbos.
And what else?
Every Chag.
Every Yom Tov. Okay.
And that's what I mean by Chag. I mean every Yom Tov.
Okay, good. And Rosh Hashanah, Yom mm-hmm. Kippur,
yeah.
Sukkot,
yeah.
Pesach,
yeah.
Shavuos,
yeah.
And Shabbos.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, they're all in this week's Parsha. And the Parsha Pinchas lists you all the special sacrifices that you bring on all these special holidays. Matter of fact, during the Amida, when we talk, we do the portion of, we take out a few sentences from this week's portion that apply to that holiday, because this week's Parsha goes through every single holiday. The portion of Pinchas. So besides the holidays, there's one more day that we do the Musaf, is when?
Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos.
Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos, and the holidays. And they're all in this Parsha, in the Parsha's Pinchas. They're all there. And then we have what's called the regular Korban. Now, on a regular Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, we have Musaf. What do we do before Musaf? We do Shachris. We do Shachris. You know what I mean? The prayer. Shachris corresponds to the regular constant Korbanos. Every day. So, in order to get that addition, Musaf means addition. Every day there was a Korban. That happened every day of the year. Then when it comes Rosh Chodesh, it comes Shabbos, it comes the Chag, then we have an extra Korban. Plus, in addition to that Korban that we bring every day. Shachris, the first part, that's what we do for the Korban, for the morning Korban. Mincha, we do for the afternoon Korban. Maariv is extra, that's something different. But Shachris and Mincha correspond to the two korbanos we do every day. So, what's the difference between Musaf and Shachris? The idea in the korbanos. The idea of the tamid, the Shachris, is the korban tamid that you bring every day. That represents consistency, which means you're always at the level. It's like the Talmud, you bring it every day. Whether you are on a weekday, whether you're on a Shabbos, and you are always devoted to Hashem. It doesn't make a difference. In other words, you feel Hashem doesn't change and you don't change and you do your work consistently. So actually that represents a sense of connecting with the part where Hashem doesn't change. It's always the same. And that is why it doesn't become a Shabbos, it doesn't become a Yontev, it doesn't become... It's a weekday. Shabbos and Yontev, when you bring the extra korban, that sacrifice changes the day. Musaf makes something to the day. Oh, it's not an ordinary day anymore. Now it's Shabbos, it's Rosh Chodesh. It changes it. The Tomid is the consistency that it's always the same. So, the Rebbe says that when we daven every day, we actually turn around every day. We make every day into a day, into a holiday. Not officially. That would be nice. We wouldn't have to go to work. It would be always a holiday. But in essence, the Rebbe, based on Rashi, the Rebbe says, doing our service in every day, even though on the surface level, it's a weekday, but the truth of the matter is we make up every day into a special time. The fact that we serve God consistently and all the time with devotion, and that we're ready to do whatever Hashem wants, that helps and make our whole day into a holy day. Practically speaking, when you get up in the morning and you do the morning blessings, and if you're able to do the prayer, the morning prayer, and to do the Shema, and to get involved, that regular things is not regular. So you're going to say, well, I do it every day. That changes around, makes it a special day. It makes it B'moya Day, it gives it that power. Tells us how we have the ability to take the mundane, just a regular day, seems like a regular day, and to turn it around and to make it into a holy day. It's not Shabbos, it's not Rosh Chodesh, it's not Yom Tov, but it's still a holy day. It's the day of B'moado. So, that's, I guess, the lesson for today.